Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, Punk. We have the power to stop the bullying. Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A lock to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer. And go to 4parents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
I have come to believe over and over again that what is most important to me must be spoken, made verbal, and shared, even at the risk of having it bruised or misunderstood, that the speaking profits me beyond any other effect. In becoming forcibly and essentially aware of my mortality and of what I wished and wanted for my life, however short it might be, priorities and omissions became strongly etched in a merciless light. And what I most regretted were my silences. Of what had I ever been afraid? To question or to speak, as I believed, could have meant pain or death. But we all hurt in so many different ways all the time. And pain will either change or end. Death, on the other hand, is the final silence, and that might be coming quickly now, without regard for whether I had ever spoken what needed to be said, or had only betrayed myself into small silences while I planned someday to speak or waited for someone else's words. And I began to recognize a source of power within myself that comes from the knowledge that while it is most desirable not to be afraid, learning to put fear into a perspective gave me great strength. I was going to die, if not sooner than later. Whether or not I had ever spoken myself, my silences had not protected me. Your silence will not protect you. But for every real word spoken, for every attempt I had ever made to speak those truths for which I am still seeking, I had made contact with other women, which gave me strength and enabled me to scrutinize the essentials of my living. For we have been socialized to respect fear more than our own needs for language and definition. And while we wait in silence for that final luxury of fearlessness, the weight of that silence will choke us. The fact that we are here and that I speak these words is an attempt to break that silence and bridge some of those differences between us, for it is not difference which immobilizes us, but silence. And there are so many silences to be broken.
Emotion, she has the power.
Welcome to My Authentic Lifestyle on LifeConversationsRadio.com, where your silence will not protect you. My name is Mo Love, and I am the host of My Authentic Lifestyle, which means living and being our true selves, regardless of what others may feel or think. The opening statement was an excerpt from the book entitled Sister Outsider by Audre Lorde, and the music selection that you just heard was Spirit Dancer by Julie Dexter and Mizuki Scales and Common Ground Collective. And you can find that music on facebook.com/ Mizuki Scales. And also, you can call in with your thoughts, feelings, and comments at 347-426-3346. And do not forget to press 1 on your keypad. All right. Woo! I'm so happy. I am excited about our show today. We have some really powerful people here with us. And but before I get into today's topic, I just want to express that what I speak about and what I believe is true to me is based purely on my experiences and life. This show, My Authentic Lifestyle, is coming from a place of healing to bring forth enlightenment and love. And it's also for lesbians, bisexuals, and anyone who's dealing with not feeling free to express who they are. And I, Mo Love, can only be me until I know differently. So with that said, let's move on with the show. Today's topic is about coming out. And just to give you an explanation on that, is coming out is our experiences on how we came out to our family and our friends as far as letting them know that we actually like the same sex or we're involved with someone of same sex, and also how they actually dealt with that and how we dealt with that as far as being, you know, first thing that we have to do is come out to ourselves and accept it, and then come out to our family. And I also have a couple of special guests today that are going to share their coming out experiences with us. The first one is someone that you're familiar with. If you've listened to our last couple of shows, her name is Teresa Udo. She's going to be sharing her experiences. And also, we have a social worker named Miss Margot. And please forgive me if I don't say your name correctly, Deloitte Bennett. She's a social worker from D.C., and she actually counsels runaway homeless teens. So I look forward to speaking with her later on in the show. But before I get them on the show, I would like to actually talk about my coming out experience. And, you know, if I want other people to talk about their stories, I have to talk about mine. And I just want to say when I came out, I feel like I was very blessed because I had a great support system. The friends that I had, namely my brother. Well, I call him my brother. He's a very good friend from college. He actually came out a year before me, and I actually had that cushion of support when it was time for me to come out, and I was embraced by my friends, and it made me feel more comfortable, and it made me feel confident in who I was. So when I came out to myself when I was 24, I felt so alive, excited, inspired, creative, and beautiful. Nobody could tell me anything. I knew I had it going on. I felt like I broke out of a shell or something. The first person I told was my sister. even though I didn't know what was going on with myself, I told her anyway. I told her I was interested in a woman, and she was very supportive. So I proceeded to explore my sexuality. And about a year later, I told my mom over the phone, which I thought, you know, me and my mom are very close, so I just felt like I could tell her anything. And, you know, I thought she would be able to handle it a little bit better, but apparently that was not the case at all. She was pretty upset, and to make matters even worse, I cut off all my hair, and I brought my girlfriend back to my hometown for my family reunion. And my girlfriend at the time, her head was bald as well. So needless to say, we not only were together, but we looked like we were together and looked gay. You know, you can be gay, but don't look gay. So, of course, that decision to bring my girlfriend to my family reunion was not the greatest decision based on the negativity I received from my family. I also felt, before I brought her to my family reunion, I was feeling really empowered. I felt good about myself. But after my family reunion, I didn't feel so empowered. I was depressed for several years until I finally realized that my sexuality was not my whole life. And the only way my family will not make my sexuality such a big deal, I had to embrace who I was and do what makes me happy. So to make the long story short, even though as an adult, I think I should have chose to come out in a different way. However, I believe there really is not a right or wrong way to come out. It was what it was. And so, you know, we learn from how we come out, and everybody else also learns from that as well, and they grow and evolve. So I'm not sure if that was the correct thing to do. However, it was the best thing that I knew at the time. So I would like to go ahead and bring up my first guest. Her name is Teresa Udo. She is one of my good friends, and we've been hanging out for the past 7 or 8 years here in Atlanta. And Teresa Udo, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Hi, Teresa. Welcome back to the show. I appreciate you coming on and exposing yourself, if you will.
Right.
So based on what I said, you know, what did you have a difficult coming out story, or, you know, was it embraced, or what was your story about coming out?
Well, my coming out story is it kind of covers all facets of emotions. It's funny, it's sad, it's you know, angry.
Right.
It's everything together. Culturally, I'm diverse. You know, I was born in West Africa, so the customs in my family, they don't necessarily recognize, you know, same-sex relations. So that whole idea growing up was never, you know, entertained in our household because it was considered a Western concept. So when I grew up, you know, I had ideas about being interested in women and being attracted to the femininity of women, yet I didn't know how to call it or what to frame it in because, you know, I wasn't necessarily in a scope of knowledge that accepted that. So, of course, the older I became, the more adventurous I became. And I think I was around 17, and I started entertaining the idea of dating women. And that continued and continued, and I'm 20 years old, and I'm living in my father's home. And at the time, his relationship with me was, you know, like a distant caregiver. He trusted me very much, and so he didn't necessarily meddle in my life as much. I was just, you know, a very well-adjusted child. I was very responsible, so wherever I was supposed to be, I was there. But at this time, I was in a relationship with an older woman. I think she was maybe 26 or 27, and I found myself in her company quite often. I think it was probably 4 or 5 nights out the week. I would come home very late, which encouraged, you know, conversation from a father, of course, asking, where are you? You know, are you, you know, doing, you know, something dangerous out there, and be careful if you're dating men, and, you know, on and on and so forth. So I would kind of just brush off his questions because I wasn't dating a man. So I think at one point he addressed me in a way that was very, very strong and, you know, very harsh, and he made a statement about me dating men and basically, you know, informed me that if I didn't, you know, calm down, I was going to have myself in a predicament. So I looked him square in the eye and I said, listen, trust, I'm not out there dating any men. You're okay. So I guess at that point, he, you know, it made him think, well, if she's not out there dating any men, what is she doing? You know, she's not coming home. Clearly she's, you know, engaging in other interests. And my father, you know, because he's West African as well, he's pretty naive when it comes to certain things like that. So he wasn't going to entertain it. And he was dating an American woman, and I believe he brought it to her attention. You know, I have this daughter. She's, you know, clearly interested in someone. She's not coming home. She said she's not interested in men. She's not dating men. And the woman said, well, she's probably dating women. And after that, it was basically on. I remember the moment exactly. I was on my way to class. He calls me on my phone. He never calls me. Like, this is the type of father that, you know, you get calls if there's something wrong, or, you know, if there's an emergency. So to get a call, I knew that something was up. So he's calling me. Right. I'm like, hello, you know, what's going on? He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, you know, what's up? He said, it occurred to me when we had the conversation the other night. You mentioned that you're not dating men. I want to know, are you dating women? So in that one statement, I had one of two options, and I only had about 5 seconds to make the option. Either of each option would have worked, okay? I could have denied it and, you know, said, of course, I'm straight, that's ridiculous, and he would have believed me, of course, because he's naive. He doesn't even believe that his daughter understands a concept such as homosexuality. You know, he's just asking because someone planted it in his head. Or I can use that as a platform and an opportunity to come out the closet. Now, again, at the time, I was dating someone that was older. She was fairly experienced, you know, in the gay lifestyle, and she was very comfortable with her sexuality. She was constantly encouraging me to come out. Oh, you should come out, and it'll be fine. It'll be fine, and you'll feel so free. And I was like, listen, okay, I have African parents. That is not how it's going to go down. This is not an after-school special, you know. People get shipped away, you know. It's not a good look. So, you know, I still had her words in my head, of course, because, you know, I'm in love and I'm listening to her. So in that moment, as he's asking me that question, I kind of give him a passive-aggressive, what if I am, was my response.
Right.
Which meant yes, basically meant yes. And he takes a moment and he says, well, if that's the case, you come home, we'll talk about it, and we'll discuss it. So in that moment, he had a few questions, how long, you know, the who, the where's, and the why's. But he was extremely calm, more calm than I thought he would ever be. There was no yelling or anything of that nature. He said, go to class, come home. So, of course, you know, the next 2 or so hours of class were torturous because I didn't know what mayhem was awaiting me at the Udo household, okay? So right. I finish class, I go home, and my house is the quietest it's ever been in the 20 years I remember. It was extremely quiet. Right. he comes out of his room in his dramatic fashion with the robe, you know, beckons me to the couch, and I just knew this is going to be dramatic.
Right.
Sure enough, it was. To understand my father, you have to, like, understand where he came from. So coming from West Africa, he related everything we did wrong, everything we did right, to a cultural story. So he would have, like, an African tale of this is why you're so fortunate, or this is why you should take advantage of your opportunities, and so on and so forth. So as he's sitting me down, I'm thinking, okay, good luck relating this to some African fable, you know. And
right.
So I'm curious, as to where he's going to go with it. So he begins with the story. He's like, yes, Teresa, when I come to this country, you know, I did not speak the language very well. I'm like, okay, this is going to go to a place that I don't know if I'm comfortable with, but I'm going to listen. So he expresses that there were movers that helped him move. And at the end, these movers tried to, from his words, proposition him for sex. So as I'm listening to him and he's expressing it, he's telling me they're chasing him. And I stop him in mid-sentence like, wait a second, what are you talking about and how in the world does that relate to what I just told you?
Right.
And he said, you know what, if I could run from them back then you can run from it now too. And it was hilarious because first I knew his English was very bad. So the movers were probably not asking for anything but the money for the day. And he was thinking that, you know, they were trying to chase him down. And so he's carried this pain for years, and it was never what it was, but it was merely his, you know, his idea of thinking about what homosexual meant. And so because he was new to the country and he didn't speak the language well, he thought he was about to, you know, get taken by some male movers, and they just wanted to get paid for moving a couch. So after we got past
so they were chasing him down.
Yes, after
they
we
wanted
got
their
past,
money.
Yes, they wanted their money, and he thought they wanted something else. After we got past that, and, you know, I told him to let that pain go, that clearly it was, you know, lost in translation. Well, he started off on me, and he began with, well, you know, spiritually this isn't the way you should go, and he's kind of, you know, hitting me with the Bible. So I decided, hey, I'm coming out, let me drop everything. So I kind of told him, too, that I was thinking that I probably wasn't Christian either. So, of course, he's like, oh, my God, who are you? You know, you're just really letting loose a lot of things. And I was actually really exploring my spirituality at the time. And I wasn't necessarily comfortable with Christianity given our, you know, African background. So now that he's noticing that avenue isn't working, he's shifting to something else. He's asking me if I'm, you know, going to take on more masculine qualities because, of course, his idea of being gay is a man. He thinks his daughter is going to turn into a man, and he thinks that, you know, he's going to lose out on a lot of things that he saw for his child, a husband for me, children, family, you know, all of this and that. So once I kind of ease his mind and say, you know, I am who I am, I'll continue to be that, but I am interested in loving women, and that's a path that I'm going to continue.
And Teresa, I'm going to stop you right at that moment for just a second, but don't forget where you left off.
Okay.
We're going to go to a quick break at this time. You're listening to you're listening to My Authentic Lifestyle on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness.
And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word. But really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
And we are talking about coming out. This is Mo Love with on My Authentic Lifestyle on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Today we are talking about coming out to our families and friends, our stories on how they reacted and how we reacted as well. And we have my guest Teresa Udo, which is she was telling her story. She's going to continue to tell her story. And we also have another guest that will be coming up. Her name is Margot DeLotte Bennett. She's a social worker out of Washington, D.C. She'll be coming up soon. But let's go back to Teresa. But before I say that, we're taking your calls at 347-426-3346. And do not forget to press 1 on the keypad. Teresa, can you remember what you said the last?
Yes. About yes. Dad. Can you hear me, Mo? Definitely.
Yes. Yeah, you were telling him that you were interested in women.
Right. So, okay, long story short, I told him I was interested. And so I'm out of the closet, totally vulnerable and, you know, naked. And he surprisingly, you know, when he found that he couldn't necessarily shame me out of my decision, which was his initial intent, he stood up, he embraced me, he told me that he loved me and that he would always, you know, be my father and I would always be his child, which was so surprising for me, you know, especially culturally, you know, for me to walk away from it, you know, no one got deported, no one got stoned, you know, my bearings
right,
were intact. It just, it was really, it spoke to what I thought was a very strong father-daughter relationship that we had. So I thought.
Right, right.
So I went to bed that night content, happy, free, and then the next day came and he began the process by entering all stages of grief. If you're familiar with those, what is it, 7 stages of grief, he went through every one of them, from anger to fear to hatred to love to loss to acceptance. Every stage was a new day. He would go through a different stage, and stage 1 was anger. And I went about my day the next day as I normally do. I went to my girlfriend's house after class, and, you know, I was so excited to tell her, you know, I told my father, and it was wonderful and great, and he calls me again. So, again, you know, he never calls me. So, you know, for me to get the call, I knew something was wrong. I get the call, you know, hey, what's going on? Now he's belligerent. I need you to come home right now. And, you know, he's screaming. And I'm like, wow, you know, what's wrong? And he's like, I know where you are. I know you're with this woman, and I need you to decide otherwise. I need you to come home. So the whole time I'm trying to calm him down, I have my girlfriend in front of me, you know, what's wrong? Let me talk to him. And I'm like, no, definitely not. That is not going to happen. It won't be positive. As I'm trying to calm him down, she takes the phone from me, and she's kind of in a, oh, let me just talk to him kind of way. And you know how you're watching an accident about to happen, but you can't do anything to stop.
That's exactly
what it looked like. Like 2 cars about to crash, and you're just sitting in the passenger seat waiting to brace the impact. So she takes the phone, and she's like, hi, you know, I just want to tell you, you know, I'm your daughter's girlfriend, and I'm so happy, you know, that you were welcoming her. And I could hear him cutting her off. What's your name? And she's like, oh, okay, my name is so-and-so. He's asking her more questions. Where do you work? What do you do? Where do you live? And she's answering these questions, and I'm thinking, no, he's coming for you. Don't answer the questions. So I take the phone, and I say, you win. Call off the dogs. You know, put your machetes away. I'm coming home. It's okay. So I get in my car. I go home. We have this huge fight. And he's like, you know, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You know, clearly he had time to think about what happened yesterday. And he was not as comfortable with me telling him that. So the anger came out. And so we're arguing. And the arguments ensued every day. And after that, after he went through anger, he went through blaming. Everything that I could possibly do wrong was because I was gay. Oh, you didn't do this? You're too busy being gay. You know, maybe you could have got your chores done if you weren't so gay. I was like, wow, okay. You know, it's not a full-time job. Being a lesbian, it doesn't take you away from, you know, getting your stuff done. It's, you know, it was interesting. And so everything came to a head, I think, about a month later, and I had to leave. So there was nothing more I could do. We had to have distance because there was just so much anger between us. And right at the moment when I was leaving his home, I had packed all my belongings. I had found a place. He embraced me again, and he said, you know, you're 20 years old. You've lived with me your whole life, and I'm really going to miss you, and I hope that, you know, you continue to have me in your life, which was another surprise. You know, I really didn't expect that. You know, we really had a contentious relationship during that period. But he loved his child. And, you know, as a mother, I know that the thing that would hurt me the most is to have a child that I vested my life in never want to speak to me again, you know, or not want to include me in their life or their experiences because I was not accepting of who they are.
Absolutely.
So, ironically, after I left his home and we had the distance and I was able to live my life on my own, our relationship grew. It grew much stronger. And now, you know, at age 32, I have a wonderful relationship with my father. I'm so very proud of him. And, you know, I'll say accepting, but he's definitely not totally satisfied with me loving women, but he's open. He will meet my lovers and, you know, he will be pleasant and he will be, you know, supportive, which is so much more than I can ask for him, given our background, given who we are, and, you know, given who he is as a man. And if he's listening or if he isn't, I just want to say that I love him so very much, and I'm so very proud to be his child. So,
I'm all choked up right now.
Don't choke up, Mo. Don't choke up.
That was a wonderful story. That was a wonderful story. Oh, wow. And very funny. I met your father, I think, one time. But right. I want to go see him again just to give him a hug. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, he's open to that. Yeah, he'll probably think we're dating, but you know, once he gets past that, he'll be okay.
Wow. Thank you, Teresa, for sharing your story. I so appreciate you, but don't go nowhere because I still want to talk with you. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest so that we all can share our experiences together. My next guest today is someone very special. She's actually a social worker for Sasha Bruce, if I'm pronouncing that right. Her name is Margot Delotte Bennett, and please forgive me if I'm messing up your name. And she's based out of Washington, D.C. She's a poet and songwriter, and of course a social worker. She's the director of the POWER program for Sasha Bruce Youth Work and oversees Sasha Bruce Youth Work's health services, including its street outreach work and HIV and pregnancy prevention services. She serves on the board of Soul, a social justice performance organization. So Ms. Deloitte Bennett has a master's in social work from, Gallaudet University? Gallaudet University. Gallaudet University. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Ms. Margaret Delotte Bennett. I'm sorry, Margot Delotte Bennett. Oh, my God. Please forgive me because I just really messed up your name just now.
Right.
I appreciate you so much for coming to My Authentic Lifestyle show. Thank you.
I'm excited to be on.
All right. So I briefly told people what you do, but can you tell me a little bit more about what you do, as far as who you are and what you do?
Okay. I am based in Washington, D.C. I grew up in Queens, New York, and moved to D.C. to go to college and then decided to stay and made D.C. my home. I am a social worker with an organization that's been around for about 38 years that primarily works with runaway and homeless and disconnected youth in D.C. In the wards, the city is broken up into 8 wards, sort of like boroughs in New York, and each of these wards has a distinct population and group of folks that may live there, but the wards that we primarily work in are the wards where there are the highest levels of poverty, the highest levels of teen pregnancy and disease and homicide, the areas where there are the least amount of resources for youth and families. That's where we do our work. And a lot of the young people that I work with never identify themselves as homeless or runaway or disconnected. They often are just like, yeah, things are messed up, or I'm staying on a friend's couch. I've been doing that for the last year, but would never think like, oh, I'm homeless. I don't have the things that I need to live my strong life. So that's the young people that I work with. And the work that I do is primarily focused around sexual health and holistically around sexual health, whether it be disease prevention or education or talk about how bodies are changing, talking about what a healthy relationship is or is not. Those are all the things that we talk about. So sex and sexuality often come up and are often talked about in ways where we try and be as non-judgmental and compassionate as we can so that young people can get accurate information that can help them make better decisions.
Great. We're taking your calls at 347-426-3346, and do not forget to press 1 on the keypad. Again, we are talking about coming out, and right now we have Margot Delotte Bennett talking with us. Ms. Margot, can you please tell me, how many years have you been counseling runaway homeless teens, and what are the percentage of those teens that are homosexual?
Well, the statistics around, like, who is gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, generally you usually hear about 1 in 10 is the stat that's usually given out, and that kind of also represents sort of the youth in Washington, D.C. There is a youth risk behavior survey that's done nationally, and the one in D.C. found that about 3% of young people identified as gay or lesbian, 5% identified as bisexual, and then there were also a fairly large percent, 3%, that identified as questioning. So they didn't really want to identify as straight or gay, but they're still kind of figuring out what their sexuality is. So that adds up to 11. So in D.C., there's about 11% of young people that are under the LGBT umbrella, to say that. I think I forgot what your first question, the first question was.
Oh, I just wanted to know how long have you been?
Okay. I started working in D.C. at a place called the Sexual Minority Youth Assistance League, which is the Gay and Lesbian and Bisexual and Transgender Youth Center in Washington, D.C., and I worked there from 2000 until 2004. And then after leaving SMILE, I then was working with Sasha Bruce, actually working with homeless adult women and then working with homeless youth through Sasha Bruce. So I've probably been doing this work for anywhere between 10 and 15 years.
Wow.
Because
that's a long time.
Yeah, any organization that you work with, you're going to be working with gay and lesbian either families or youth, or like at our drop-in center, sometimes the parents of the young people who have run away are gay. Sometimes the social worker is a lesbian. Sometimes it's sort of we all are coming into contact with sexual minority people or folks that are kind of underneath the umbrella, but we may or may not create the spaces for folks to identify, or their identification might not be necessary for them to get the services that they need.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, what inspired you to do this type of work, specifically within the LGBT community?
Well, I think pretty much from a young age, I've always been a very open-minded person, and I've always thought of attraction as kind of fluid. I came out to myself as a bisexual woman probably in my 20s, but before then, like my high school prom date was a bisexual man, and so I always kind of was in the community or around the community. It never was something that was far away from me. Good family friend of my mom's was a gay man. Like, it was just always around, so I guess I grew up in a space where there was this safe space to explore. Or so I thought or could see. And so the work that I've always done has been kind of holistic and inclusive. But when sort of talking about sharing coming out stories, when I sort of just finished college, I'm dating a woman and I'm very excited about it. And I tell my mom about it like I would tell her that I was dating a guy or whatever. And it wasn't until I looked at her and saw, like, she had no blood in her face. She was, like, getting visibly upset that I was like, oh, this is coming out. Like, I didn't realize that that's what was happening. I thought
right.
I was just sharing a story about what was going on in my life at that time. So that sort of started a whole chain of events of her needing to have her own grief, going through her own grief and loss, going through her own need and not need to come out. She didn't want me to tell my stepdad. She just wanted me to tell my brother, but I had already talked to him. And so it was she needed to contain it for her because she needed to understand who she was now talking to or dealing with, separate from the image that she had of who I was in her mind. And I think that's very common for parents, that they have one idea of who this child is and what this child's life will be like, and then when someone comes out, that needs to get changed. And at first it might be saddening, it might lead to grief. But eventually, hopefully, it will lead to a better understanding and a closer understanding of who this child is, not just based on what's in your mind, but actually what is the reality and how they're living their lives.
Right. When you expressed this to your mom, did you have a sense of support system as far as helping you get there, or did you just deal with this on your own?
I think I kind of had a support system because at that time I had friends who were out as well. So, like, there were people to talk to. There's lots of – I remember being always – there was an organization at – I went to American University in Washington, D.C., and there was a resource center, a gay and lesbian resource center, and I had this button that was said straight but not narrow because I was an ally. So I already was a part of the support system that was trying to create safe spaces. So when I needed it, I could access it as well.
Okay. Okay, great, great. And I wanted to ask you, you know, being that you counsel teens, I mean, this is your life, this is what you do, are there any tips that you can suggest for anyone who is about to come out and still feel good about themselves regardless of the type of reaction they may get from their family and friends? Are there any suggestions or advice?
Absolutely. And the thing about sort of coming out or counseling young people who might be thinking about coming out, or even adults that are thinking about coming out,
right,
any person might become your counselor, your advisor, your safe space. So really, it's a matter of making sure that you are disclosing to somebody that you trust, but also making sure that you realize that your disclosure could be received a number of ways. Just because it feels so good for you, it might not be received in that same good way. So really having a good understanding of the impact of the disclosure, whether it be positive or negative, is something to keep in mind as you're thinking about coming out. And a lot of these a lot of the tips that I'm going to share were actually developed by the Sexual Minority Youth Assistance League, or SMILE, the youth center where I used to work with. They have plenty of handouts, whether online or you can contact them at smyal.org. They can send you out, like, fact sheets.
I'm sorry, Marlo, can you repeat that one more time?
Yep, please? It's smyal.org. SMILE, Sexual Minority Youth Assistance League. They can send you out fact sheets and information about working with the families of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender youth. So one of the things that they talk about is really exploring the impact of a disclosure. They also talk about really, really trying to prepare yourself as best you can about what the family's reaction could be, whether it be positive or negative, and really talking about what is it, once you tell your story, how do you make sure that you create a space where that is, it's not a one-time thing, that there can be continued conversation around it. Talking about, in terms of, like, possible negative impacts, talking about, is there a threat of violence that could result out of you coming out? Could you lose your housing as a result of you coming out? Could this lead to some, whatever it is, like, is everyone going to have a big party for you because you've come out? But, like, really talking about what it could look like and what are some safe steps to do it in a way that can honor who you are. Making sure that young people have and adults have accurate information. Sometimes when folks come out, so already folks have an image in their head of who you are. And then when you come out, based on what their image or their experience is with gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender people, they're now going to put you in that picture. And if their experience has been bad, if their experience has been negative, if their experience has been scary or hurtful or whatever, now that has become you. So it's a matter of making sure that you sort of provide an accurate picture of, okay, no, this is who I am as a bisexual woman, or this is who I am as a transgendered man, to really talk about, I know you might have these experiences, you might have gone through these things, you might have seen these things, or know this is what you think gay people are, but I'm telling you that this is who I am. And let's focus on what is and sort of get the education that we need. And then also letting families know that there is support out there. There's an organization called PFLAG, Parents, Families and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, pflag.org. They have lots of resources on their website about what does coming out mean, how do you best support your gay and lesbian child, things like that. There's another project out of, I'm not sure what part of California, but a project called the Family Acceptance Project. That project is also doing very progressive work around helping families move from just ignoring their child's sexuality to being tolerant. And in that tolerance, they are having a really amazing impact on the future lives of the young people. So really getting specific, like, okay, these are some steps that you can do that will reduce your child's chances of attempting suicide, that will reduce your child's chances of doing drugs because they've come out and they're not being accepted, will reduce your child's chances of running away. And so the Family Acceptance Project is like, let's actually do some real evidence-based research to find out how do we impact children's lives in ways that they can live to be strong and amazing and proud adults.
Exactly. And based on Miss Teresa Udo's story, did you listen in on,
mm-hmm.
on Teresa?
Yes.
Well, how do you support you know, other people from other countries where they are, you know, I mean, this lifestyle is totally not supported because of their culture, because of, you know, whatever religion or what have you. Do you think it's a different type of support that they would have to go through? Or what do you think? Based on what she was talking about her father, and she was thinking that the movers wanted him,
mm-hmm.
but all they wanted was, you know, money.
Right.
You know, but, you know, so do you think there's a different type of support that they would need to have to go through?
I think that there is. I think that there are, you'd be surprised at what kind of organizations have come out of different needs of different people. I cannot remember the name of it, but I know that there is a storytelling project that is happening around folks from the African diaspora, lots of different African countries, talking about their experiences of being gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. So it's out there. But not everyone is ready to explore that or even have access to it, but it's something that you might want to look into. There are lots of open and affirming congregations out there as well. There are some folks who their sexuality and their faith, they cannot align, so they separate them, and they will go to a church that is bashing them or just in their church setting never talk about their sexuality. But then there are others who are like, you know what, I have to align. There are support groups. There are working groups. There are resource guides. There are all sorts of things that have been developed and are being developed today to allow people to live their, like your show is, live their authentic lives and fully be themselves. So if you think that you need something, the best thing to do is to try and look for it because it actually might already exist.
Exactly. Exactly. You're listening to you're listening to My Authentic Lifestyle on LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can call in with your questions at 347-426-3346, and do not forget to press 1 on the keypad. I believe we have a caller on the line, and I would like to take any phone calls, whoever would like to have any questions for Margo, and or if they might have questions for me or Teresa. But let me ask you this, Margo. Can you, we talked yesterday, and what was so profound was to me that you explained being attracted to or having attraction for the feminine side or in the masculine side, femininity and masculinity. Could you could you explain to our listeners more about that? Because I really thought that was so profound. It was like an aha moment for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about how your orientation is different from your gender identity. It's different from your biological sex. There's no particular way that they all need to align. Your biological sex has to do with what parts you have. Your orientation has to do with who you are attracted to, who gives you butterflies in your stomach. And then your gender identity is how you present who you are to the world, whether it be in masculine or feminine ways. So when talking about just specifically attraction and who you are attracted to, there are some folks who they are very much attracted to just the shell, the outside. I only like this type of man or this type of woman. Then there are others who are more attracted to femininity or masculinity. There are folks that you will see that they might be bisexual or they might be straight identifying or they might be lesbian identified, and everyone that they are with is masculine in particular ways, present themselves, walk in certain ways, talk in certain ways, and that is what is attracting to them. It's not necessarily what parts they have, but that person's gender identity, which is what is exciting them. And then there are those folks who are very much attracted to folks who are androgynous or who sort of transcend gender. Like, you look at a person, you're not really sure, is that a man, is it a woman, do I care, oh my God, that's hot. Like, you get excited by the not knowing or the fluidity of it. And so all of this is normal, quote unquote normal, because all of it is healthy manifestations of how we experience our attractions to others. So yeah, we were talking about that yesterday, about how you might be a person who's very much attracted to someone's gender identity, or a person who's more attracted to someone's biological sex.
Right, and that like I was saying yesterday, that explains it. You know, we're attracted to spirit, you know, or we're attracted to, like you said, either the masculine energy, that masculine energy, or the feminine energy, and it's just a shell that we have. We're so focused. Our society is so focused on the shell, and the shell really isn't much of any, not too much of anything, but what's going on inside of the person. So, yeah, I thought that was so profound. Really do appreciate that. Let me ask you, do you offer counseling outside of Shasha Bruce organization? And if so, is there a way for our listeners to contact you specifically?
I personally do not, but I have and I can. But I have a pretty good referral system or supports. So I could refer folks to others who can definitely help them either explore their identity, explore their sexuality, explore their understanding of who they are and who they love. So I don't sort of have a private practice per se, but I can refer folks to those that do, that can provide help. Would it be best for me to give my email address?
Yes, please. Email address or any websites that you may have.
Yep. So my email address is MARG as in Gary, AUX as in xylophone, T as in Thomas, D as in David, B as in boy, @gmail.com. So it's MARGAUXTDB@gmail.com, and I can definitely get folks to resources. But PFLAG has a great PFLAG.org is a great website with great resources for young people specifically. I usually, Planned Parenthood has a great website called Teen Wire, TeenWire, and through that website, there's lots of really great information about body parts, about sexuality, about contraception, about all that. And it's written for teens, and so that's a great place to get information and support. Another great place for young people to get information and support is through Advocates for Youth. Advocates for Youth is an organization that does a lot of comprehensive sexual education and support, and through their website, you can also be connected to peer educators who are teenagers trained to provide support to other teenagers around a whole host of sexual health issues.
Okay, great. I'm going to have you repeat that a little bit later, but I want everybody to get this. And but I have a question from a listener, and I would like to share that with you and get your comments on that or your perspective. I am a parent. I don't understand this same-sex thing. I am hurt, afraid, and worried for my son. What should I do?
Well, I think the first thing is you need to honor your feelings as a parent and know that this might not be what you chose for your child, but this is kind of how your child is experiencing the world and feels comfortable and how your child wants to identify. As a parent, there are support systems for parents so that they can talk about it and sort of work through those feelings. As a parent, I think it's even if you don't understand it, that gives you a chance to maybe have your child explain it to you and have conversations if and when you feel comfortable to have that happen, to talk about it and talk about, like, this isn't what I would choose for you, but you tell me why you have chosen this for yourself or how you understand this for yourself. And I think also it's important that even if your child is doing things that you don't understand, don't like, you still need to continue to love your child. Because your child's identity and their sexuality should not separate them from the love and support. They're still your child. That has not changed. But as a parent, you need to get the support that you need to work through it for you. And your child might be part of that support system to kind of help you understand and also know that you have time. It doesn't have to make sense today. You don't have to understand it today. You don't have to understand it in the next 6 months. For my mother, it took about 3 years for her to get okay with saying, all right, this child who I birthed is this way, and that's okay, and this child is still my child. But it takes some time. And so you don't have to be okay with it today, but you do have to make a commitment to working through it so that you can get to a better place so that your fear or your not being able to understand doesn't stop you from providing the love and support and care that you want to and should provide as a parent.
Right. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process. It's definitely knock on, you know, everything's going to be okay the first day. Teresa, did you have any comment about that?
I definitely had a quick comment about that. I think when I was coming out to my father as a child, I was very selfish with my emotions. I didn't care about his experience with it. I only cared about how I was experiencing my journey. Now, as a parent, and I have a child, I understand how my father felt when I told him what I did. So as a parent, you have to remember to sometimes take yourself outside of yourself when you're listening to, you know, your child telling you about how they are and who they love and what they're experiencing, because as Margot expressed, your children are not always the individuals you thought that they were. You know, they're separate from your ideas of who they are. They're their own person. So you have to also learn to accept and love and trust who they are as well, because you want to continue to be, you know, a part of their life, and you want to let them know that even if you don't support what they do, if you find what they do is harmful, you may have to separate yourself from them to a degree, but not completely, so that they know that they will still receive that love and support that they desperately need from you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more with Margo and Teresa. We'll be back on My Authentic Lifestyle.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
All right, we're back, and you're listening to My Authentic Lifestyle on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Right now, we are taking your calls at 347-426-3346, and do not forget to press 1 on the keypad. We're talking with Margo Delotte Bennett, and we're also talking with Teresa Udo. And we're talking about coming out. And we have a question. We have a question. One of the listeners has another question. I am gay, but I struggle with what I was taught God thinks about me as a gay man. Mm-hmm. Any advice? I would like to address that real quick. What did God actually tell you? Did you talk to God personally? Did you listen to what God actually said to you, or is it something that you were taught by someone else other than God? And that's a question that I would like to ask you. And if you guys can address that question as well, please do so, Teresa or Margo.
I was saying earlier that there actually are a number of groups that are that sort of work at the intersection of sexuality and Christianity, or sexuality and religion, not just Christianity. I know of a LGBT Muslim group. I know there are LGBT Jewish groups and Catholic groups and Baha'i and everybody. There are lots of organizations out there. And by going to resources like PFLAG, Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, or even in the back of some gay magazines or gay newspapers, they will have a listing of when these groups meet. It might be good to talk with others who might be struggling, or even trying to find a person of faith, whether it be whether it be a pastor or whatever, depending on what the religious identification is, there might be a person of faith who would be able to have a conversation with you in a safe space that allows you to explore these feelings.
Okay, thank you, Martha. Teresa, did you have any comments as well?
Yeah, I definitely had some experience in that area. I remember when I was younger, I dated an older woman, and she was Christian, and she was a lesbian. And I remember we would have these discussions because she constantly found herself in internal contradiction and conflict with her social groups. Her social groups were not accepting of each other, so she was kind of this walking contradiction, and it was just causing so much turmoil. And the problem in that is when you try to shift or change your authentic self to fit the image of what people want you to be as opposed to who you genuinely are, then you're always going to kind of have these internal and external issues. You first have to accept yourself as who you are, and that's not going to change. You can try to mask it, you can try to hide from it, but who you are is who you are. So once you accept who you are, then you tap into your spirituality. And Monique, you brought up an excellent point. When you're speaking to, you know, your divine higher power, are you hearing something negative personally? Are you bringing in, you know, something that is telling you that this is not a positive path for you? Because those negative tones that we often hear are only mimics of what people have told us. Because when I, you know, decided to date women, I never felt spiritually that that was something I was doing wrong. I always spiritually felt connected and loved in that respect. So I was fortunate in that. However, I am familiar with a lot of women and men who are constantly in spiritual conflict, and the way that they resolve it is not necessarily to separate themselves, although some do. Mm-hmm. They first have to resolve the issues internally with who they are, how they're going to continue to be. And if they want to continue to be who they are and also be involved in these social groups, then they have to make sure that these groups are accepting of them as they are accepting of themselves.
Right. I'd like to add one other resource. There is a publisher called Redbone Press that actually has a number of books that are related to black, lesbian, and gay men and identity. And one of the books that they have is called Spirited. And that book talks about sort of black, gay, and lesbian folks and religion. And it has lots of stories. Another book from the catalog of Redbone Press is Does Your Mama Know?, which is the stories of black women coming out. So those are two resources, Redbone Press, RedboneePress.com. They have a catalog of a number of amazing, whether it be poetry books or memoirs, stories, coming out stories. They have lots of different books that really focus on identity and exploring identity and creating space.
Great. Redbone Press, you said?
Redbone
Press, right? Okay. I just wanted to address what Teresa was saying as far as, you know, how it felt for you inside. You know, we only do what makes us feel good, you know, and we know if something is wrong, we feel it inside, you know. If it doesn't feel good to you, then, you know, guess what? Then that may not be something you need to be doing. And for the listener, if it doesn't feel right for you, then that may not be something you need to do. But if it feels good to you and it makes you feel good about who you are, then, you know, it really doesn't matter. It does not matter. But I want to address to my guests, Teresa and Margo. What is being authentic to you? What does that mean for you? And whoever would like to go first.
Margo, did you want to take that on first? Or?
Sure. I think being authentic to me means never forgetting that the story that I have to tell is the one that I have to tell, and it should not be told by others in reference to me. It means I have to speak up. It means I need to live fully. It means I need to love fully. It means I need to define myself, be very clear about how the limits of nobody can know the limits of my love, and nobody can know the expanse of my love. It should not be defined by others that are not me. So I think that for me, that's what being an authentic being means, or living my authentic self. It's not being afraid to fully open my mouth and speak my truth, regardless of how it might be received.
Ashe, thanks.
Okay, well, to kind of pivot off that. Yes, hello?
Yes.
Right, right. What I, pivoting off that, I totally agree. I feel as though being authentic has to do also with not inheriting who you are, but actually being who you are. There are so many instances when we feel, you know, especially as children, that our paths are already predetermined. We inherit our spirituality, we inherit our sexuality, we inherit, you know, things that we will become, we inherit it. But you don't necessarily have to. You don't have to be, you know, what your family line has put in forth of you. You can kind of be your own person. And it's okay to say, you know what, this is kind of how things have been. This is kind of how things are going in my own space with my people, but this is kind of how I feel I am. And kind of trying to delve into that and see, well, how deep does the rabbit hole go in this respect when it comes to me? If I'm separate from it, if this plan or idea does not work in my world, then it's okay to find out what does. And I feel as though that is definitely a definition of being authentic.
All right. Yes. Ashe, I love it.
Shay.
Yeah, so I just want to thank you ladies. Yeah, I want to thank you, but before we go off, you have 30 seconds for both of you. What is your last comment that you would like to share with our listeners today about coming out, about being authentic, about whatever you want to share?
I would say it's really important to remember that coming out is a process. It's not a one-time thing. Even like when you talk about the sex talk, as if you only talk about sex one time and then you never talk about it again, it is a lifelong process. And you always have choices about how you want to come out and if you want to come out and when you want to come out. But it is a process, and that needs to be recognized, that every time you go to a new job, every time you meet a new person, you always have choices about how you want to be and who you want to be. And so the more you understand who you are, the easier it will be to make sure that others understand that as well. But know that it doesn't have to all make sense today. It doesn't have to be right, be the right words today, but you will get there, and just trust that you will get there.
Thank you, Margo.
That was wonderful. Yes. As far as coming out, as Margo stated, it is a process. And especially if you're a feminine-identified woman as myself, mm-hmm. you will find yourself coming out almost every week. Mm-hmm. You have another employer, you may have to come out. You're meeting your child's parent, you may have to come out. You know, you're meeting new people. If they don't see you physically as a lesbian woman, if they don't identify the image that they have in their head as what they feel gay is, then you're constantly going to have to ask yourself the question, is this a safe space for me to come out? Is this a space in which I want that side of my life to even be open and not private? So it is a process, but understand the process equates to freedom. The freedom of coming out and the freedom of knowing that who you are is open and okay for you is like no other freedom. You know, my father, my parents, my sisters, knowing who I am, no one else can take that from me. No one else can harm me with any words. If someone, you know, sees me or hears me or notices me with a woman and they choose to take that knowledge, information, and take it to another place, because I'm free, I'm not bothered by that. See, and so it's important to know what may be asked of you when you come out. There is a certain amount of freedom, but there may be some loss. And so you have to kind of get yourself acquainted with, well, which would you rather have at this moment? Are you comfortable with losing what may be lost in the process for the freedom that will be attained in the end?
Oh, right. Wow. I am so thankful to have two wonderful guests today that really have enlightened us about coming out. I really appreciate you two. Thank you so much, Margo and Teresa. Thank you for coming on My Authentic Lifestyle on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are at the end of the show now. You guys have brought it home. Thank you. We will be back on November. Okay, yes, we will be back on November 18th at 6 p.m. on LifeConversationsRadio.com with Mo Love on My Authentic Lifestyle. So remember, everyone, where your silence will not protect you. So speak up, please. Tell your truth. Thank you, and God bless. We'll see you next time.
Right to say Jesus when you pray. Some believe Muhammad, Allah, or Buddha are the way. Then on God, our pantheon of gods up in the sky, I'll honor your choices and you can honor mine. Whether you are red, black, yellow, brown, a man with a husband or a woman with a wife, we can debate till the end of time who's wrong and who is right. Or I can honor your choices and you can honor mine. We are one, the same, things of life. We want peace, love, and prosperity. But can we give? I need to be right. Give the world a present gift, the gift of your acceptance. Give the world a present gift, the gift of your acceptance.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.